The sermon today, the title is, Put Your House in Order. Put Your House in Order. It's hard to imagine, but it's been over a month now since we had the church yard sale. It's amazing. But looking back at what was collected for sale definitely showed that people had a lot of stuff in their homes to be gotten rid of. And I appreciate Mr. Keeler's sermonette message because it's a really great beginning that flows right into my message. But also, who wants to bet that we still have a lot of stuff at our home that we could still get rid of? But I'm not soliciting, by far, I'm not soliciting that we have another yard sale anytime soon. Okay, I'm making that clear right now. Because I know I could raise my hand here. Yeah, I still have stuff I can get rid of. Because we recently had some work completed, which was the final part of our home remodeling that was completed. There were two outer rooms. Well, before we could have that work done, I had to take all that stuff and put it in another room. Well, you don't know, I had a middle bedroom that was wall-to-wall, floor-to-ceiling. It was packed. Packed with stuff that was really our storage. Well, we did get rid of some things in our yard sale, don't get me wrong, but I definitely have a lot of stuff I still need to go through. But that's the house. I don't even want to talk about the utility shed outside. That's a whole different story altogether. But I did bring some props today. And for Doug and Helen, no, it's not a crowing rooster, but there are some props that just to show some of the stuff that I still have. This is check registers. These are checks that I've written. This goes all the way back to September of 1976. It would go farther back, but I couldn't find book number one, so this is book number two through now. Do I really need this? No, I really don't. It doesn't take up a whole lot of space. So what I plan on doing is actually putting all this on a spreadsheet to actually review my history, our history as a family, where the money went, what it went for. I'm sure there'll be some surprises because it starts out in 76 to current. All right. Well, God's blessed me for that. I'm very happy. But when I was growing up, and I was born and raised here in Florida when I was growing up, a family of mother and father and six kids. I didn't know what stuff was because we didn't have a whole lot back then. And if you looked at pictures of me back then, all you would see is a little kid in some cut-off jeans, no shirt, no shoes, just romping around out in the country. I don't even know if I even had shoes maybe until the wintertime, but I didn't like shoes. I was barefooted. I was out in the country having fun. But the other thing, I even had the book with it, is a Brownie Hawkeye camera. I don't know if any of y'all remember these. I'm not going to stand here and take your picture because there's no film in it. If it was probably be concrete. But that's something I picked up from my parents when, you know, they passed away and I cleaned up their stuff. Well, it's something that's really near and dear, and that's the pictures that were taken back then. So this subject about putting your house in order is just not about decluttering, but it's also our physical, mental, and spiritual. Because in Friday's Wall Street Journal, there's actually an article on the front page talking about, and I'll just briefly mention it here, it says, admit it, you have a box of cords you'll never, ever use again. Well, you could say you have a bag with nuts and bolts and nails and screws and whatever else around your house that you'll never use again. And it was so interesting because in this article, it talked about a couple who moved from San Diego to Charleston, South Carolina, from Charleston, South Carolina to Dallas, from Dallas to Richland, Washington. And there was a box that was never unpacked, but it went from place to place to place to place. And it was nothing but cords. Did they need them? No. Do we have stuff at home like that? I know I do. But for me and my wife, we'd lived in the same home since 1977. So right there, a hidden blessing is I've never had to pick up all this stuff and move it, other than from room to room to room, not from state to state to state or county to county. So I've been blessed there. Now, before I get into the main message for today, I do want to preface my message with a disclaimer, okay, a disclaimer, because I may be talking about some things up there that's going to start causing some elbows and pointing and looks, okay, that's my disclaimer. Don't blame me for any rib bruisings or finger pointing that may be going on if I hit close to home, okay, because the examples I'm using today, I want to be clear, it's mostly about me, my family, all right? If it hits close to home, well, that's just something that happens. Because I'll be using words today like tidy or decluttering. So just start thinking about it, because that could have been a fifth item for Mr. Keeler's scripture there was decluttering. You know, is it enough? When's it enough? Just collecting all this stuff. Because most people realize that clutter is caused by too much stuff. Excuse me just a second, because I was putting myself on a timer and I'm already late. So anyway, because you can ask yourself, why do we have so much stuff? Why? Well, usually it's because we don't actually accurately grasp what we have. And not only that, but what we have, do we really need it? Because we have things placed, I know I do, we have things placed in various parts, or we used to a lot, various parts of the house. The attic, bedrooms, nooks and crannies, wherever that may be. You know, under the bed, behind the couch, closets, stuffed, wherever. But the thing is, it's not really grouped as its own category. All books here, all clothes here, whatever. It's usually a smattering of everything everywhere. But we know that clutter, no matter if tangible, mental, or spiritual, it's something that makes you think, and it makes me think. Yeah, I used to think I had a pretty firm grasp on life, a very firm handle, grasp on life. But somewhere along the line, it broke off. I mean, it's like sometimes you're just sort of, what happened here? Yeah, we put people on the moon. We've invented artificial intelligence that was brought up during the sermonette. We have the Hubble spacecraft in space to see many distances, galaxies, and so forth. But some people can't go from room to room without stumbling over stuff to keep it clean, keep it clear. Well, that's where, as an example, we have 8 grandkids. Well, we have 3 in Indiana that I always have fun with them, because the first thing I want to do when I get there to visit is go to their bedroom. Well, I'm never quick enough to get there before they do, because they know what I'm after, is to go in the bedroom and look down. I don't have to look in a closet or anywhere else. I just look down. And guess what I see? Perfectly clear room, right? Perfect. Spotless. No, unfortunately, it needs some cleaning. It needs stuff picked up. I actually joked with them one time. I closed and locked the door on one of them. I actually said, I'm going to open your window, grab everything I see, and just toss it out in the yard. Well, I could hear them running downstairs. They run to the window, and they start looking to see what was coming out of the window. Well, of course, I was joking. At that time, I was joking. Maybe not next time. But my granddaughter said, that's where she said, you know, that's personal, Grandpa. Don't talk about that. At least don't mention our names. We'll see if their names come up during the message later. But of course, we know that Satan loves to use whatever is at his disposal to ruin the lives of people. And this is just one of the devices that he uses, is clutter. Webster's Dictionary, the definition of clutter is to fill or litter with things or stuff in a disorderly manner, a disorderly heap, a confused state. And that's what Satan loves, is confusion. He loves disorder because clutter breeds confusion. A poorly kept household or office makes people tense. A poorly kept household also causes stress. It's distracting. All these things that Satan loves, indecision, is just screaming at us daily if we're dealing with clutter or if we're living in that type of environment. So words like indecision, disorderly, confusion, tension, stress, distractions, all resemble fruits of an evil spirit that he will use against us. And Satan, the devil, is proud of and transmits these continually. If you would, turn to James chapter 3, starting in verse 14. In James chapter 3, in verse 14, it says, but if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Verse 16, for where envying and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. So none of these words describe the fruits of God's Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. We read, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. So by removing this clutter in our life, these acts of the devil, the sin of getting sin out, we have the Passover season coming ahead of us. So what do we do to declutter our lives and our homes? Let's talk about it. Now, there are many books on the subject in your local bookstore or library. That is, if you're those of my age that still love to read, you know, with a book, or just Google it for expediency. I've actually brought two books with me today. And it's amazing. Mr. Keeler talked about two books. I brought two books with me that I found. Not everything in these books is something you want to really listen to. But one is called The Life-Changing Magic of Tidying Up, The Japanese Art of Decluttering and Organizing by Marie Kondo, a Japanese cleaning consultant. Some interesting things in there. But then again, dealing with the Japanese lifestyle, you know, it does talk about different shrines and things, which you can overlook that, just disregard it. But the next one I found interesting because I personally have dealt with this in the past, The Gentle Art of Swedish Death Cleaning. Yeah, that's what I thought when I first saw it. I'm going, But as I picked it up and started reading, I'm going, yeah, I can relate to some of this stuff. So I'm going to be using bits and pieces out of these books as I go through. So let's talk about how we can declutter our lives. And first, let's focus on why. Why do we need to do that? Well, we all know that you cannot hit a non-target. You got to know what you're looking at. You got to know what you're wanting to deal with. Most people can't decide what to keep because they haven't really focused on why. They're keeping it. And it just keeps accumulating, just keeps stacking up, keeps being moved around, shuffled. You know, it's easy to wander or get lost on a journey with no destination. I mean, if we plan on a trip, we do some thinking, we do some planning to make sure that we get to the destination that we're striving to arrive at. So we need to think first about what we want. What do we want? Where are we going to get what we want? And what do we want to accomplish? We just don't want to be spinning our wheels, wasting time. Because you got to remember, decluttering is removing the indecision, the disorder, confusion, and tension, and stress, and distractions that it's causing in your life. We see an example in 2 Chronicles 34, where King Josiah, if you would, 2 Chronicles 34, and I will say that this topic is really to all ages. Young, old, middle-aged. It applies to everybody. 2 Chronicles 34, starting in verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem for 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David, his father. He declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. For in the 8th year of his reign, he's 16 years old, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David, his father. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. So we see where King Josiah, he was decluttering the nation. He was doing a major cleanup, all for God. He was focused. We need to be focused as well, because let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Because we are the temple of God's Holy Spirit. So spiritually as well, we need to be cleansed, decluttered. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting in verse 16. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. So we're not just talking about cleaning our homes, but we're also talking about focusing on cleaning our lives. Our spiritual life. Well, we were just talking about focusing on why. Well, next, let's just talk about just do it. When you figured out why, then just do it. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of stuff around. There really isn't. As long as you're using your stuff, you know, and it's something that you really need, you're constantly using it. Where the problem is leaving it all when you're done, just laying around, tossed wherever it may drop, that's where it stays. Whether on furniture, the floor, again, wherever. Or you're just saving it to deal with later. Now I'll get to it later. Manana, I'll do it manana. Constantly keeping or carrying stuff over until later, meaning tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, when I get around to it. Well, you know what? Sometimes you get around to it, never happens. Never happens. And then what do? I know I do. All right, now where did I put that? Whatever it may be. Hangers for pictures, whatever it may be. Where's my hammer? Well, if you don't have it, what's the easiest thing to do? I go buy another one. How many hammers do I need? Because eventually you do run across them, you know? And you just stand there and scratch your head or wish you didn't have so many hammers, but it does happen. So how much time is lost dealing with the mental and emotional irritations and depression? Better yet, how much time can be saved after it's done? Again, these are areas that we can actually seek assistance. It could be a community service project for the young people to help out. You know, by doing that, you're actually teaching them something. They learn some job skills. You know, everybody gets exercise out of this. There may be credit hours for their service that they can report to school. That's community service. But the big thing is they could actually get fed a very nice home-cooked meal. Yeah, it's a barter system. Yeah, we got a lot of great cooks in here. We all know that, you know, from our potlucks. Nothing wrong with that. But, of course, it can make it into a family project because you divide and conquer. But you really need to be willing to do it. And that's what you may be asking yourself. Well, I really would like to do it, but when? Yeah, when? All I can say there is don't ever ask that question again. Yeah, because time isn't a question of having. It's just a question of using. We all have the same amount of time in a day, 24 hours. So it's up to us to determine how we control that time and utilize it. And if you do that, then you start taking solid steps on progressing to this goal. Again, if you would go to 2 Chronicles 34, let's talk about King Josiah again. Because this young man, he was focused. And he did a lot for his nation. Starting in verse 4, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 4. And it shows what he was doing during his decluttering. And it showed that he did it. It says, and they broke down the altars of Balaam in his presence. The images that were on high above them, he cut them down. The groves, the carved images, the molten images. He broke them all down into pieces and dust. He just got rid of it. He cleaned it up. You can read on through verse 7 where it says, when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. It took him 6 years to accomplish this. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take you 6 years to clean your house, declutter it, yeah, because I'm going to be talking about some ways of actually focusing on how to accomplish it in a reasonable amount of time. But here it took King Josiah 6 years to do it, but he did it. In verse 33 of the same chapter, 2 Chronicles 34, and Josiah took away all the abominations out of all the countries that pertain to the children of Israel. And he made all that were present in Israel to serve, even to serve the Lord their God. And all his days they departed not from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. He was definitely placing his house in order. his nation in order, accomplishing that. Well, the third thing, where we talk about why and then just do it, is we need to be determined. We need to have that endurance. We need to redeem our time back to get this accomplished. Determination deals with a mindset prior to any task. So we need to be determined. While endurance involves the carrying out of that task, now would be a great time to do it. You know, we don't want to wait till we think it's the very end. I mean, we'll get to that. That's where the death cleaning comes into play. Not at the very end, hopefully. But decluttering is just putting in the time required and the decisiveness of discarding what you really decide to get rid of. No vacillating. Well, okay, this day I think I want to get rid of it. Nah, I better keep it. Nah. All this indecision that we need to really focus on not doing. By staying vigilant and current with our daily things, we will keep the clutter removed, not just let it keep stacking up. We need, again, to redeem our time. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5, starting in verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So again, we have the clutter, the physical clutter that may be in front of us, presenting us with these distractions. But we also have the spiritual clutter of Satan bombarding us, pushing and throwing things at us. Again, we need to redeem that time with God. And it will give us a feeling of being better once everything is done and maintained. You will feel like a weight has been removed from your shoulders. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, again, here we see we're talking about our bodies from the spiritual sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Again, our bodies we need to keep cleansed, clean, decluttered from the sins of this world. Verse 18, it says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man does is without the body, but he that commits fornication sins against his own body. What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And a way to be able to glorify God is to be cleansed. And it's so wonderful that we are able to go to God in prayer, to seek forgiveness, to have our sins cleansed, to be tidied before God. You know, in this book about tidying up from Marie Kondo, when you start your decluttering, you got to resign yourself. You really got to be thinking about this. To resign yourself to discard first those items that you make a decision that you want to get rid of. You don't leave them laying around while you're going through the process. Once you've made that decision, get rid of them. Get them out of sight so that they don't hang around and you change your mind later. Now what have you accomplished? nothing. You just still have more, the same amount of clutter. That's the way we are with putting sin out of our life. Once we put sin out and we seek forgiveness from God and we stay close to God's word, we need to fight every day that battle of keeping sin out of our life. Not hanging on to a sin and just keep coming back to it. We need to discard it. Well, in the book of the death cleaning, there was a comment, and I found it very humorous. Of course, you say death cleaning, that's humorous. Well, there were parts in the book that makes you wonder, because there was a part here, and this is Swedish. They said the Vikings must have known about decluttering way before anybody else did. Because what did they do when they died and there was a burial? Their stuff went with them. They got rid of their stuff. It went with them, either buried in the ground or burned when they died. Well, the humorous part was, to me, okay, just me, maybe not anybody else, but you know, I plan on being cremated when I die. I don't think the guy doing a cremation is going to allow me to take all my stuff to be burned with me. That would definitely get rid of a lot of things out of the house, mind you. Or those that would be buried, that'd be one big mound, wouldn't it? Like an Indian mound, if all your stuff was there. But the thing about the death cleaning is that we need to be considerate of our family members as we start to get older and we start to think, well, it would really be best for our family if we actually started getting stuff cleaned up ourselves and not leave it for them to deal with. Because it's a consideration, although it's hard to talk about, and I know that because I went through it with my mother, it's a reality that needs to be thought about from a decluttering approach. Because for my example, when I became a guardian for my mom, we moved her out of her house. Well, we had to dispose of the property and everything, all that stuff. Well, Charlotte and I can remember it took two truckloads. I'm not talking about a pickup truck. I'm not talking about a cargo van. I'm talking about a big truck, cargo truck. Two loads of everything out of that house. It was a 4-bedroom, 2.5-bath house out in the country. And that sticks with me, especially when I'm looking at my own stuff. I don't think it would take two big truckloads, but that was a lot. Yeah, we need to classify our approach. That's what I picked up out of the tidying book. And I was doing it wrong when I've tried to clean and declutter my house. I would take it by room. Attack that room, attack that room, attack that room. What is suggested here, and it makes sense to me, is you set up your decluttering by category. You start with your clothes first. And what they say is you take all your clothes that you're going to be looking at, because you may have them in two or three different rooms, your clothes, wherever you store them. But you got to bring them all together in one area to be able to fully declutter that category. Pick it up, look at it, make a decision. Keep, discard. Makes a lot of sense, because if you don't have it all together, you're only touching a part of it. So you're not accomplishing anything, because by the time you say, oh yeah, I've got stuff over here, you know, you need to work at this. So there are categories that this individual set up: the clothes, your books, your papers, your miscellaneous. And don't we know we got a lot of miscellaneous everywhere? But the last thing they talk about are the sentimental items. Just like this Browning camera, it's a sentimental item. You know, your pictures, because you want to leave those till last, because when you start looking at those, what do? You reminisce. Before you know it, half a day is gone. You've just been looking at pictures. You know, so you leave that till the very last. It makes sense again, mementos. But when looking at each category, be sure to have those items again all together in front of you. And they need to be looked at individually in the same time. But always remember, once you decide to get rid of something, you get rid of it. End of story. That's just like with God's example in with our spiritual clothing. It's all joined together. It's not separate here. It's not separate over there or over there. It's together. It's not worn without the other. It's a complete set. As an example, if you would turn to Ephesians chapter 6, where we're going to talk about the armor of God. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God. So you pick up on that word, the whole armor of God. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's why we need the complete set, his whole armor of God, to be protected completely. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. He keeps stressing that, the whole armor, that you may be able to withstand in an evil day, and having done all, to stand. And it's so wonderful, our loving Father, to give us that armor so that we can stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking a shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So again, we can see the whole armor of God is a complete set. He doesn't say just take the sword and run with it. He names each and every specific piece of clothing. In Hebrews chapter 8, and what we're talking about here takes our mind and heart to really accomplish and do a thorough job. You cannot separate that, the mind and heart. God's Spirit within us deals with our mind, deals with our heart. But see how it's phrased here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, and I will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. So as we see here, it's going to put it in our mind, write it on our heart. Now if you would go to Hebrews 10, verse 16, and see how it's phrased here in this verse. Again, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their heart, and I will, and in their minds will I write them. So you see, between these two verses, it's still dealing with the mind and heart. But in one verse, it's put here and written here. The other verse, it's written here, put here. Same togetherness. That's the way we are with trying to get our lives decluttered. We have to have our whole heart and mind in this matter to really be clear, to really make an impact. In Colossians chapter 3, is everybody's sides okay out there? No aching yet? That's good. Thank you. I haven't heard too many people moan or grunt or scream or anything out there, so that's good. Colossians 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. But now you also put off all these. So declutter this from your life. Put them off. Get rid of them. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. So again, we have put off the old man at our baptism. Fully immersed, doing away with the old man. Keep that off. Put it off. Put off that clothing. But in Colossians 3, in verse 12 through 15, it says, put on, therefore. So we just put off the evilness, the sins. Now we're putting on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. And above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness or unity. In verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. So again, we're putting that on, which God has given us. We can't do this by ourselves. We can't go searching on any store shelves for what we just talked about, or what we need to be putting on. With our heart and mind, we need to do what God explains that we need to be doing. Now, one thing that the Old Testament in Deuteronomy chapter 17, even before Samuel was asked by the people to give them a king, we see in Deuteronomy chapter 17, starting in verse 14. It says, when you are come into the land which the Lord your God give you, and shall possess it, God speaking to Moses, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. So all these years before Samuel, here we're showing that Israel is going to be asking for a king to be placed over them. Verse 15, you shall in any wise set them a king over them, whom the Lord your God shall choose. One from among your brethren shall thou set king over them. You mayest not set a stranger over you, which is not your brother. So we know that there was going to be a king assigned to Israel. In verse 18, and this is where we need to remember this, because we're going to be assigned as kings and priests in God's kingdom. So this applies, these next verses really apply to us today as well on a daily basis. In verse 18, and it shall be when he, the king, sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God. So here it says, all the days of his life he shall read this. Well, that's for us today. We should be daily reading God's word, staying close to his word. And when we're in the process of decluttering, you know, that's one of the qualifications is the category books. Well, that's one of our primary important keepers, you know, is the Holy Bible. We want to make sure that's front and center. We never lose sight of that book. That he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes to do them. That his heart, being the king's heart, be not lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. We ourselves need to be staying close to God's word, to his book. We don't have to write it out. It's already here for us, although we do take notes during, you know, sermons and sermonettes, Bible studies, which are good to be studied later. Well, let's remember when removing the tangible clutter from our homes, you know, we need to be thoughtful and we need to recycle where possible. Let's be, you know, good stewards of God's creation as earth. You know, let's think it through, you know, what to dispose of and how to dispose of it. But where we can serve others are things that we may decide to discard that can serve others better. It gives them utilization of clothes or books or furniture or tools or fishing gear for the fishers out there. So anyway, do I really think to yourself about books? What's some of the biggest stacks that you have in your home? I would tend to say magazines. You know, they're everywhere. I could talk about, you know, the Good Housekeeping magazine, where it's all stacked here and there. And you wonder by its name, what's so good housekeeping about Good Housekeeping magazine if you have stacks of them everywhere? Yeah, but of course, I could have talked about a man's magazine, which are many in this example, but let's face it, I didn't. I didn't list it here, but there are many. So we've talked about a lot about physical decluttering, you know, being tidy with our homes. We've talked about a spiritual perspective of how it relates to being clothed by God's spiritual clothing, his word, his commandments. But there are a few other clutter zones that we have to be considered. There's the mental clutter, and it comes in various groupings. Let's say gossip. A person's mouth can resemble a cluttered room. It really can. It's full of things that aren't needed and that don't do anyone any good. So that's something we need to get rid of, because it's like a bad virus. It's unseen but spreading steadily and insidiously throughout a person's life. If you would, turn to James chapter 3. In James chapter 3, starting in verse 5. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Let's jump down to verse 8. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poisons. So we need to get rid of gossip from our lives. Another would be complaining or criticism. It does moral and spiritual damage, and the sooner it is tossed out with the rest of the junk, the sooner a person gains motivation and accomplishment. In 1 Peter chapter 3, and verse 10 through 11. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Another deals with noise. There's noise all around us, various types. And we must say that we tend to get used to it, or we ignore it. It's in the background. But some are dependent on it to dull their senses and blot out other things. You know, kids claim that they need noise to study by, you know, listening to music or whatever it may be. The noise makes clear, clean thinking almost impossible. You know, how many times you've been driving down the road and you can hear it coming up behind you, the boom, 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 boom. The radio, the whatever, just so loud. And when the vehicle passes you, the windows are up. But it seems like the windows are down because it's so loud. It's amazing. You know, they say that noise bothers 95% of us. It offends 80% of us. And it infuriates at least 50% of us. Noise. Because how many times, like myself, have you found yourself while reading or studying scripture and afterwards asking yourself, because of all the distractions and the noise and things that are going on around you, you ask yourself, what did I just read? You know, what was I just looking at? So you got to go back and do it again, concentrate more. Because these are distractions that we need to remove from our life, is the noise and other mental clutter that can be a culprit. You know, we need to learn to live without clutter, and we need to simplify our life. Hopefully, decluttering will go faster than you think if you start the process. But guess what? You have to start the process. No one else can start it for you. And it won't get done by itself. It's still waiting on me. It's waiting for me at home. But we need to keep our lives decluttered by remembering to focus on the why first, and then just do it and continue to be determined, have that determination and that endurance, especially in God's orderly way meant for our life. Staying consistent, persevering, and redeeming our time. Because we know there's coming a time in the future when Christ returns and we're spirit beings, eternal beings with Christ, serving with Him. There's going to be a major decluttering effort after His return and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. We'll be a part of that. Because after the great tribulation, a godly cleansing will occur throughout the millennium and afterwards. A huge undertaking. Huge. So we need to be praying for that day to come quickly and God's will to be done. And I know we do that. So brethren, hopefully I haven't caused too many injuries out there. If I have, if you want to talk to me about it later, I'll be here for a little while. But continue enjoying the rest of your Sabbath. And I do wish you and pray that you have success in decluttering your lives. And let's put our house in order.